The conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. We are governed, our minds are moulded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we have never heard of. And this week's opening quote comes from Edward Bernays. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Humankind has most definitely been manipulated and moulded and led to the point that we are currently at in the world today. Ladies and gentlemen, we really have. When you look at the world situation, this is not a random series of events that have brought us to this point. Even when you look at technology, civilization, industry, the rise of technology, none of this has been random. None of it has been simply a matter of course, simply men inventing things and connecting the dots and moving to the next practical thing. All of it has been done by design to lead us to a certain point. And our ideas have most certainly been manipulated. Our thoughts, our beliefs have been manipulated, and we've been led to the area that we are now in and to the ultimate control grid that we are currently being led into with the advent of the 5G system and the smart cities and social crediting system that is going with it. None of this has been random. And with the whole 5G system, I mean, this is an extremely concerning situation. And I've been ringing the warning bells about 5G and this whole lockdown that's coming for about 2 years now. In fact, I think I was one of the first people, if not the first person, to actually ring the warning bells regarding 5G. Thankfully, a lot of people have picked up the flag now and it's moving forward. But it's almost too late for this to be stopped because, I mean, even with the action that we're taking here in Australia, it's really going to take a groundswell of people to get involved and start making noise about it for it to even work, because even with this action we're undertaking, 5G was rolled out in many cities across Australia last Tuesday. That's 4 days ago. And with all the action and the activism we've been mounting, it really hasn't made a great deal of difference so far, not in the overall scheme of things. And that's simply because people have not been getting involved on the ground where they live. You know, there hasn't been enough activism on the ground in local communities. Too many people have just been watching YouTube clips online and hoping that they're going to get the word that everything's changed, but not getting actually active on the ground in their own communities. And that's what we need. There just hasn't been enough of that. Though I must admit, there was a speaker at the 5G event that I did last Thursday in Brisbane, a young lady called Jessie Rimasil, I think. I may have her last name wrong. But she was so motivated, and it was wonderful to see someone of her age actually getting out there and really pushing for activism on the ground with the people of her age. That was very inspiring, so that's a good thing to see. So like I said, folks, hope is not lost. We still can turn this around, but we really need people to get motivated in this respect, folks. If we're going to stop this, I mean, we could still stop it. We do still have a chance to roll all this back, but it's really going to take people getting involved. You know, a lot of people online that are getting the information, again, they're waiting for the newsletter to tell them the action's been mounted and they don't have to do anything. It's important that people get involved in their own communities. That is really where the difference is going to come. You know, now's the time for you to choose whether you want to go with the technological pathway or whether you want to go back with the spiritual pathway, back with the human pathway. We're at a crossroads, folks, and now is the time for people to make their choice, and it isn't a passive choice. You've got to be active by your actions in what you do in your everyday lives as to which decisions you're making in this. I mean, you can sit there and look at the information all you like, but it's the choices you make in your actions in your everyday life that is going to make the difference. And we're now at a time in human history where we have to make that choice. I mean, are you going to go with the smart system or are you going to go with humanity? Are you going to buy smart devices? Are you going to use a smartphone? Are you going to shop with a credit card? Or are you going to go back to normal phones and shop with cash and go back to communicating with people in a real way and involving yourself in the world in a real way. These are the choices that people have to make. You know, it's our choice as to whether to go into this smart system, whether to allow ourselves to be led into this smart system, but the choices that we make are by our everyday actions, by what we do, whether we choose to use this smart technology and allow it to thus lead us to the inevitable conclusion, which will be a complete and total lockdown of humankind coming very, very quickly, and will actually be finalized and all on board and up and running easily within the next couple of years, within the next 18 months to 2 years, this is where the world will be if we do not be aware of the choices that we are making every day. And that's the situation, folks. You know, people say, what can we do about what's coming? It's all very well to know this information, but what can we do about it? Well, you can make the decision every day with the choices that you make in how you operate your life through that day. That's what makes the difference. And if you're not prepared to do that, well, nothing else will really make a difference at all. That's the thing. People want to know how to be involved. Just be aware of what you're doing, ladies and gentlemen. That's how to be involved. That's how to change the world. And even with a lot of this, I mean, when I say this sort of stuff, a lot of people think that I'm sort of against the internet or something like that, and I'm not. I mean, I love the internet. The internet is great. It does wonderful things for us. The problem is that the internet is becoming autonomic. This is the problem. It's the automation. It isn't the flow of information. It isn't the connectivity we've got. It isn't any of the stuff that makes the internet great. It's the automation. It's the apps that are doing everything for you. And it's the way the internet is leading us into an AI system that we never wanted or asked for. That's the problem, folks. There's nothing wrong with the internet in itself. There's nothing wrong with technology in itself. It's simply the way it's becoming autonomic, because an autonomic internet will be a very, very different thing to what people believe it will be. An autonomic internet is something that will control every aspect of human life, and that is not what we created the internet to be. Well, it's not what we want the internet to be anyway. You know, and the problem is that not a lot of people have got a lot of real focus on it, I've found, because I don't think that there's too many people out there in the so-called truth community, and certainly not in the community in general, the community at large, who really understand the scope of what we are facing with this whole 5G smart reality that is being superimposed over human consciousness and superimposed over the world that we know. Not a lot of people can really see what is actually coming. And what is coming? Well, it's about to become a very, very different world, folks. This is a very, very disruptive technology. Very disruptive in as much as it's going to disrupt the way we live our normal lives if we allow it to be rolled out and if we abide by the parameters that the governments are putting in place with this technology. You know, and by around 2030, well, it's all going to be complete. Everyone's going to be in a complete lockdown. And the kids, as I've said so many times, the kids that are growing up through the system now will have no reference point for what the world once was. They'll have no reference point for what freedom even possibly looked like. They simply won't have the concept of it because it won't be anything they've ever experienced. And with 5G, I mean, as I've said again many times, what people need to understand with it is that it's all military-grade technology. It's not just about monitoring. It's not just about social crediting. It's not just about surveillance. It's also about crowd control. It's about mood control. It's about emotional control. There are so many patents, so many US patents, so many DARPA patents that show the incredible amount of psychological manipulation you can do through electromagnetic radio waves. And not just psychological control, but also physical control. I mean, it's control at all levels you can think of, folks. It's right across the spectrum. We've seen experiments with MIT where they've injected nanotechnology into rats and they've been able to switch the genes of the rats on and off using radio waves to operate the nanotechnology. You think about what's in the chemical spraying that goes on in the sky, the nanotech in all the foods. I mean, we're being set up in a big way, ladies and gentlemen, and the manipulation that comes through this 5G system is profound. It's absolutely off the charts. It's way beyond what many people are considering. you have the capability of manipulating vast sections of population, targeted areas of population, or targeting people individually, targeting crops individually, biology individually. You think about the nanotech is in everything. So anything that the nanotech is in can be manipulated through this 5G system. And the nanotech is in everything. They spray the nanotech in the skies. They put nanotech in the food. Even with what we flush down through our drains in our own homes, gets passed on down through the water system. So you see this in the food chain, and there's nanotech in the food that we're eating and nanotech in the stuff that we're washing down the drains. And of course it ends up in the river system, it ends up in the fish, ends up in the algae, ends up in everything. So there's a huge setup happening here, ladies and gentlemen, a huge manipulation system that has been put in place. And with all of the stuff that they're feeding us about fast communications and good downloads and good connection speeds and all of this sort of stuff, that's the secondary application of all of it, or even the third application of all of it, because ultimately this is military-grade technology, and what it's about is control, and ultimately it's a weapons system. You know, it's a surveillance system and a weapons system. You can have people under surveillance, and then you can weaponize it and target certain individuals for elimination or whatever, heart attack, cancers, whatever you want to do to them. Psychological attack, just have someone have a hate trigger in the middle of the street and start attacking people and arrest him as a psychopath or a terrorist or whatever. Just have someone have a complete meltdown, a complete psychological meltdown in a public place. Anything you want to do. You could probably target them with a sound wave and have them spontaneously dissolve on the spot. I mean, turn into a pile of jelly like we see with Ebola. I mean, there's so many possibilities with this type of technology that has been rolled out across our cities. For all of its benevolent purposes, there is this huge malevolent undertone to the whole thing. And you just got to look at it, folks, and think, well, how much can you trust your government? Can you really trust these people? Look what they've done to the world so far, and that's who is rolling this system out, apparently for our benefit, when nothing could be further from the truth. You know, and apart from all of that, you know, when you look at the internet, you look at what it's become, it's becoming something that we never wanted. I mean, we wanted the internet there so we could have access to information, we could have fast communication with each other, but now it's becoming a digital barrier between us and reality. It's becoming something that we must interface with in order to access the real world around us. And all of our information is being removed from us and put onto what they're calling cloud computing now. They're even saying that soon you won't be able to get hard drives for your machines. You won't need hard drives because everything will be on the cloud. And all that means is that it doesn't exist anymore. It's up there in cyberspace and you don't actually have access to it on your own computer. So you can't have access to your own things. You've got to keep them on the cloud, which means you can be locked out of all of your stuff at any time. That's what it's about. I mean, I know people that have uploaded their photos to video host programs and then suddenly they get locked out and they need to verify who they are in order to access their own stuff. I mean, this is ridiculous, folks. They do all this sort of stuff and they say it's for your security. We're locking you out of the system because you've changed location for the day. And so we don't think you're who you are. So we need access to all your devices and your cell phones and everything we can get to try to track you and triangulate you and get everything we can on you before we're going to let you have access to your own things again. And that's what they do. And they call it security, keeping you safe. It's not keeping you safe. Is keeping tabs on you and making sure they can lock you out at any opportunity. And they're just kind of showing you that they can do that and you're agreeing with it by going along with it. And when you've got kids that are growing up into this system and everything that they do is online, everything they know is online, all their bank accounts, their shopping, their friends, their Instagram, all their connections to everything, their electricity bill, it's all online. And even their car keys and their access to their house becomes digital. Then any threat of being locked out of that is going to stand as a major obstacle to these people ever thinking for themselves in their lives. You know, you imagine what it would be like. You start to question the government's actions. You start to speak out about vaccines. You start to speak out about anything that means something to you. And suddenly you find yourself locked out of the system. Suddenly you can't access your stuff because none of your stuff is here in the real world anymore. It's all been moved into the virtual world because that's what we're doing. We're removing our access to everything around us by creating this digital interface between us and the real world. And any threat of being locked out of that interface is going to be a totally complete system of absolute control. That's how you get people, folks. You get them addicted to the tech, and you make the tech essential in their lives. And then any threat of being locked out of that tech makes these people walk between the lines very comfortably. And these people will do anything the powers that believe they be tell them to do. They'll be able to start any war they want and tell whoever they want to go fight it. And if these people don't go fight it, well, they'll simply lock them out of the system and they won't have any other choice but to go fight the war. And people won't have any other choice other than to do what they're told in every single aspect of their lives if we allow this system to come online. And that may seem like a bit of a drastic scenario to be outlining, but it's true, folks, because we won't have access to all the things that we normally do if we don't comply by the rules that the government tells us, simply because we've transferred everything we normally do over into a virtual world. You know, all of our knowledge, all of our libraries, all of our information, and as I said, even our interface to connect with the world around us, none of it is here anymore. None of it is something we can hold anymore. None of it is anything we can pick up in our hands and hold. You know, maybe it is to a certain degree now, but it's fast becoming all virtual. And the virtual world is not the real world. And when you transfer real life items into the virtual world, you lose them. When you transfer real life skills into the virtual world, you lose those life skills. This is what we're doing with everything. And it isn't even a matter of choice. We're just being led this way, and most people don't even notice what's happening. But it is happening. Now, because we've taken everything that is real and we've put it all into the virtual world, and in that world, none of it is real. Now, you can pull out a photo album from your bookshelf and you look at photos of your children. Have a great time doing that, looking and going through all those old memories. Then ask your children to pull their photo albums out. Take their phone off them and ask them to pull out their photo album and show you their kids. And they can't do it because none of the photos they have of their kids actually exist in the real world. They're just all images on a screen. And when the power goes out, you can't access any of that. None of the information on the internet is actually real because none of it exists in the real world. You can't hold it in your hand. You can't go and pick up a book from the internet. All you can do is read it on Kindle Reader. You know, they're burning the information, folks. What is kindling doing? It's starting a fire. Or you can read the book on Amazon Fire now, of course, can't you? Because they're burning the information. And they tell you that they're burning the information simply by the apps that you're using to access the information. They're putting it all on a cloud, and they're burning it, and they're locking us out of everything. That's what the internet has become. And we didn't really want that. We wanted something that was going to actually give us information and make the world smaller and help us become peaceful and more connected and more communicative with each other. But it's actually had exactly the opposite effect. And now it's becoming an integral part of people's lives. It's becoming a pillar in people's lives, a cornerstone of human civilization. The internet is becoming the most important thing in the human experience, because it controls everything else in the human experience. And that's really not a good thing, folks, because by doing that, we're putting all of the human experience that we have into the virtual world, and we're losing track of what it actually means to be human. So that's where the choice is. That's where the choice lies. The choice lies with us every day by what we do with that which is available to us and how we choose to operate in the real world. And as I've often said, folks, I don't own a credit card and I don't take a smartphone with me anywhere when I go out. I don't do any of that stuff. So you don't need to have these devices. I can post all these clips to YouTube. I can watch all the other video clips that people post. I can do all these things. I can even access social media and do all those things all without having a smartphone. So we really need to think about the choices that we are making. And here I am sitting at home in a shed, on a desktop computer connected to the internet via ADSL and a cable connected to the phone line. So we can all make a difference by the choices that we make in our everyday lives, ladies and gentlemen. And that's where the change will come from. And that's the only place the change can come from. You know, the decision is with us and it's always been with us. And no one's coming to save us. There isn't even anybody in the truth movement who's going to lead the world to safety. Now, all we people out here who speak to the people, you know, coming on and doing these radio shows, all I can do is offer suggestions to you. I can simply offer you my perspective and offer you suggestions on what you may be able to do in your life to change things in your own environment. But that's really the best I can do. I mean, I've got to live my own life here, and I offer the suggestions that I can simply because these things have helped for me. They've helped me discover who I am. And I think it's when people really discover the truth about themselves that the real change will come, because when you really know who and what you are, this whole system just becomes a circus to you. I mean, it's such a fiction. All the stuff that controls us is such a fiction. It's just an idea. And as soon as you really realize who and what you are, you see it. You see how farcical this all is and how easy it would actually be to change it. As I've said, folks, many people just simply can't see the forest for the trees. They don't see how simply changing their perspective could change a thing. But really, that's where the change is going to come. And it can't come from anywhere else, because this whole thing is just a matter of perspective. Like I said, it's just an idea. Anyway, this whole specter of authority that rules us, that we think rules us, that we think controls us, it's just an idea. You know, as I've said so many times on the air, you know, the real problem is a loss of self. The fact that people have been disconnected from themselves to the point that they just don't know who they are anymore. You know, if people did know who they were, then this whole specter of authority wouldn't exist in the first place. You know, we wouldn't allow people to simply carry out assaults against us and do all this stuff which messes up our lives to the point that it does, and think that we have to go along with it simply because it's the law, in inverted commas. All these 5G towers that are being rolled out around the place, I mean, these things cause harm. It's as simple as that. This is an assault that's being carried out against us, and we're allowing it to happen because we believe that, oh, look, the law says they can put it here. Well, hang on, the law also says that they can't assault you. So why are we allowing this to happen and not saying something about it is the question. You know, that's the first step, folks, just saying something about it, asking the questions to begin with. You know, who do these people think they are that they can do the things that they're doing? Who do these governments think they are that can just chop down all the trees in our local areas because they want to have their 5G signal pushed out to everybody, where nobody wants the 5G signal? Nobody wants this type of electromagnetic radiation around them. We don't need 5G. We don't need connections that fast. If you really wanted to have connections that fast, why not just lay out optic fiber the way they were going to? Now, optic fiber is instantaneous connection. They have undersea cables, which are optic fiber. It's really, really fast connection, probably even faster than Wi-Fi. So why are we doing this? Why are we allowing it to happen without questioning it? That is the basis of the whole problem, folks, the loss of self, that we would simply allow people to do this and think that we have to go along with it and we don't have any choice in the matter. It's ridiculous. You know, people ask me where I get the strength to do what I do and where I get the nous to do what I do, and it's simply because I know who I am, folks. I know that all I'm dealing with is other people. They're just people. Doesn't matter whether they've got uniforms on. Doesn't matter whether they've got offices of title or anything like that. They're just people. They're people very often that we elect to do exactly the opposite of what they're doing. People we appoint to manage infrastructure for us, and they're doing exactly the opposite of what we employ them to do. Same with the police officers. They're not preventing crime anymore. They're actually creating crime by supporting the criminals who run the system and by harassing the population the way they do. You know, in the United States now, the United States police force is responsible for stealing more cash and items and taking more possessions from the American people than all the burglary in the country and all the robberies in the country combined. The police have become the biggest robbers in the entire United States system. How's that, folks? Simply by their confiscation of stuff. You're walking down the road with a couple of grand on you, the police will confiscate it from you because they don't think that you should be carrying that much money. So they'll just take it from you. You know, what right have they got to do this sort of stuff? They just take things from people because they say, oh, well, we think we should be able to take this because you can't explain to us where you got it from to our satisfaction. Well, who the hell are these people? And why the hell are people letting them do it without making noise about it? You know, maybe people are making noise about it, but of course we just don't hear it because the media doesn't report any of it. That's really one of the big problems that we've got in our society as well, folks, is the media. We need more and more people making noise about the media. People should be up in arms about this ridiculous group of people that are just feeding propaganda to the world. They're certainly not bringing us news anymore. They're certainly not telling us anything that we actually need to know. They're certainly not acting as a government watchdog in any degree. We just had the government in the Northern Territory found out for stealing billions of dollars from the Aboriginal Housing Fund, and the media is completely silent on this. I mean, this should be a huge story in the newspapers in Australia. The Northern Territory government has been busted stealing billions of dollars from the Aboriginal Fund, and we don't hear a word about it. It's just independent journalists and independent investigators that have found out this information, and they publish it online so that the people will get the information. But you don't hear anything from ABC or Channel 9 or Channel 10 or Channel 7, nothing on the mainstream news, nothing in the newspapers, nothing to alert anybody to the fact that this is actually happening. So it's only people who manage to find the correct news stories online. And with the amount of censorship and the amount of changes that are happening to the internet, it's becoming more and more difficult to even find these stories, how you're supposed to get the information out to people. How you're even supposed to get the information out to people about the dangers of 5G and what it's really doing to human biology if the media doesn't report on it. The media is just pushing 5G, saying what a great thing it's going to be and how we're all looking forward to this. Go and speak to people on the street and see how many people are actually looking forward to it. There's not too many people who are looking forward to it, folks, but the media tells us, yes, yes, we're all looking forward to this. And so you find the average plebs will go, oh, well, it's going to be a great thing because everyone's looking forward to it. We know they're all looking forward to it because the media told us that they're looking forward to it. So therefore, we should be looking forward to it as well. Sure, I'm looking forward to it because everyone else is, and I know they are because the media said they are. So, gee, it's going to be a great thing. That's all it takes, folks. That's how you mold people's perception. It's like the emperor's new clothes. Well, everybody else is doing it, so surely you want to do it. I mean, you don't want to be seen like you're silly, do you? And it's like Edward Bernays said in the opening quote, you know, these ideas are put into us. These suggestions are given to us. These beliefs and these desires are manufactured for us to buy into. And we just generally do it, you know, as a society. We just generally go along with what we're fed. And that's what the media is. You know, media and the television and the newspapers simply do not present the news to people. What they do is they train people what to think, and they train people to accept being led into a predetermined reality, which is ultimately going to be about complete lockdown and complete control, all under the guise of keeping us safe from the ever-constant threat of terrorism, which is, of course, something that the government manufactures themselves simply to bring this situation about. If you look up the old definition of terrorism, folks, you'll see that it's even listed as a tool of government. But folks, I think we have reached break time here, so I better leave it there for now. We're going to have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. So as I said earlier, many people simply cannot see the level of control that is going to come from this 5G system and the full spectrum of what is coming, what this entire smart social credit system will mean for the future. And these are long-term plans, folks. I mean, it may get to a certain degree of badness in my life, but for the coming generations, human life is going to be nothing like what it was supposed to be. It's going to be fully automated and really to the point that human beings will cease to become relevant at all. You know, what they're doing is attempting to transfer human consciousness into this virtual world, into AI, to basically uplink us. If you look at some of the stuff that Elon Musk talks about and some of the stuff that Ray Kurzweil has talked about, the fact that they want to make everything smart, infuse everything with nanotechnology, intelligent nanotechnology, programmable nanotechnology, and then basically go out and assimilate the rest of the universe, you know, turn the human race into the Borg. That is the plan. So you've got to really wonder where it's coming from. Who would be the one who instigated this plan? It doesn't really seem like anything that would benefit humanity. So you've got to really wonder where it came from. And this is the sort of stuff I was talking about in my 2012 film Transformation, which was actually the last film I released. I really would like to get another one out. But in that film, I mentioned that we are all being moved into this transhumanist AI reality. A lot of people told me I was going right out on a limb with that film, but everything that I said in that film has now been proven true, and in fact, beyond that point. You know, and it gets to the point where it's not even the people feeding the greed at the top, you know, the people who are doing this because they've got dollar signs in their eyes. You know, it goes far, far beyond that. It goes far, far beyond economic value. The dollar signs and the economic superiority that people get from participating in this system is a very, very short-lived experience. It's simply the carrot at the end of the stick that goads them to go in the direction the true controlling hand wants them to go in. But it isn't about economic control in any of it. I mean, economics is just a system of scarcity designed to keep us under control. Economics is not really what has value here. I mean, it's a system that is used to control the masses. It may have value to us on a personal level within the system, but it's simply the catalyst that holds the system together. It's not anything of any real value. What is of real value is life and this earth. Everything apart from that is secondary. And when you understand that, then you begin to see how the system works, because what the system is about controlling is life and every aspect of the earth. That's what it's all about, folks. And controlling life to the degree that life doesn't even realize that it's under control, shifting it all into a virtual world, replacing actual life with virtual life. Because when you're in that virtual world, you don't pay any attention to the world that's around you. You don't pay any attention to your actual environment. You know, you could be lying in a pod like they have in the Matrix and connected to a virtual world. I mean, living that, and the entire world around you is deteriorating and being strip mined and reduced to an absolute shell. And you'll never know until they reduce it to the point that the power station stops. And you have to actually climb out of the pod and look around you. And what you're going to find is that at that point, it's too late. The world has already been destroyed around you because you were not paying attention to the real world, simply because you were trapped in the virtual world. And when I say trapped, I mean it's our choice as to whether to be trapped in the virtual world. And unfortunately, that is the choice that many people are making. And again, even in saying this, I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the internet. There's nothing wrong with the connectivity that the internet gives us. I mean, I've done incredible things in my life because the internet has been there, which has allowed me to connect with people and to be able to do these things. You know, as I said, the problem isn't the internet. It's the automation that's coming with it. It's the fact that once the internet becomes fully autonomic, then it becomes a virtual life of its own. And then we suddenly become subservient to it, rather than it being a tool that we use to improve our lives. It suddenly flips over and the internet starts to control what we do, what we think, what we say, where we go, and basically who we are. It starts to control every aspect of our consciousness. And it does this because it thinks it's doing the right thing, because it thinks it knows what we want. It thinks it knows what we like. This is why you get recommendations from Google and YouTube now, because the algorithm assumes that it knows what you want to look at or what you want to find in your search results. And so it gives you those appropriate results, but it gives different results to the person next door because they've searched for different things. So it begins to take over our personality and control our personality and mold our personality to go to a certain point of what it thinks we would want to do and what we should be doing according to its parameters. And so it's like a nanny state taken to the ridiculous degree. And of course, taken even further now with the advent of censorship, or the ridiculous levels of censorship we're seeing, and how even the search parameters have changed again. So it's not even giving you stuff that it thinks you might like. It's just giving you mainstream stuff. Well, depending on what you're searching for, of course. If you're searching for any alternate information, any information from the independent media, you'll find that you just don't get it in your search results. People have even been commenting that they can put in the names of some of my video clips on YouTube and search the video clip and they still don't get the results. Not any results that lead them to my channel or my original video clip anyway. They'll find the mirrors of my video clips that are put up there, but very rarely will they find the clip on my channel. So we're seeing the censorship being taken through the roof as well. So that's just a whole another side of things. Now, still very much hitting my channel, folks. They're still deleting my subscribers. So do be sure to check your subscription on my channel. And do be sure to register and upvote on the video if you like it. Because if you don't, you'll find that YouTube may actually register a downvote for you. Good idea if you actually come back and check the clips after you've watched them and just see. Maybe come back the next day and just see if your upvote's still there, see if you didn't put a vote on there, see if a downvote has been registered in your name, and just check that the subscription is still onto the channel and that the bell icon is still clicked, because all of these things have been happening to people. I've been getting lots of emails regarding these things. So it is a good idea to check the channel, and not just my channel, folks, but check other people's channels as well, because they are doing a lot to suppress this type of information. But again, even looking at this, I mean, I don't think that there's people sitting in rooms that do this. I think a lot of it is AI, a lot of it is algorithms. And people don't really realize where the algorithms are leading everything. That's the thing. You know, even the people that are running this system at the top don't really realize what it's becoming and where it's really going to lead to, because eventually they're going to be locked out as much as everybody else. Because once the system starts locking out human beings, it's not going to really differentiate between human beings. And the more and more people get discarded by the social system, well, the tighter the system becomes. And a lot of people won't even notice these people disappearing, because a lot of them are fringe dwellers. Now, people like myself, you would consider to be a fringe dweller. A lot of the activists on YouTube, you would consider to be fringe dwellers. What will happen is that their channels will simply stop becoming active one day. They might still be there, but the uploads will just stop and people will begin to wonder what happened to these individuals. And they would have just quietly disappeared in the night and ended up in a FEMA camp somewhere. I mean, that's the way it's going, folks. As I've said before, the revolution will not be televised, and neither will the disappearances. And we're actually seeing the stage set for this with the Julian Assange arrest. A lot of people still aren't looking at what this actually means in regard to international law, in regard to rendition, in regard to the disappearance of activists. You know, a lot of people just don't see it for what it is. And again, you know, I don't trust Assange. I don't trust everything he's done. It's very difficult to trust anybody who can't see through the scam that was the 9/11 attacks and won't call that for what it is. But by the same token, you've got to look at it as a theatre move, as a act in a play, and you've got to see what the result of this will be, what the dominoes are being set up to achieve. And what it's being set up to achieve is basically to eliminate most of the independent media, to eliminate most whistleblowers, change the legal system accordingly to make this acceptable, to make it legal, and to see whether the public outcry is going to become loud enough to actually change the situation. You know, if they can get away with arresting Julian Assange after him publicly revealing a mass murder that was carried out by the US military, you know, a completely illegal move, if they can nail this guy to the wall for actually exposing that crime, then anything you or I or anybody else does to expose government corruption is going to seem like a just insignificant feather on the pile to Joe Public out there. So they're not going to give two hoots about any of us disappearing. Now, you got to see what the bigger play in all of this is, folks. I mean, all the world is at stage, and these people know exactly what they're doing in all of these public maneuvers. That's why they make them so public, because they want to see how the people are going to react as to whether their plan is going to go in the direction that they want it to go. And it all seems to be going completely in the right direction for them with Julian Assange, that's for sure. I mean, they say he's sick and he's been taken to the hospital in the prison and all this sort of stuff. Now, it seems to have happened rather quickly after he was arrested that he's been taken sick and moved to the hospital. I mean, whether he has, whether he hasn't, whether he will die, whether he will be seen to die, whether they'll just fake the whole thing and he'll go and live on an island in the Caribbean, whatever, however they play it, all this stuff is irrelevant. It's behind the scenes stuff people can speculate on all they want. What you've got to do is look at what the political and legal ramifications of it are and how it is going to affect you and I on the ground, how it's going to affect the common activist who is speaking out against the system. Yeah, that's what's important about it, folks. Looking at what the public reaction to this is and what the reaction to it has been through the truth community as well. I mean, you've seen that the truth community are simply not prepared to stand for one of their own, not stand up for him. I mean, they probably do this because they think, well, he's not one of our own because of what he said about 9/11 or what he said about this or what he said about that. And they're just missing the bigger point, folks. It doesn't matter what his opinion is on anything. What matters is that it's a man in jail and been put in jail simply for speaking out against the government and the political ramifications of how it's all been played. That's what matters. I mean, like I said, with what he said about 9/11 and so many other things he said, I mean, I certainly don't trust him, but that's not the point. The point is that it's a man in jail, and regardless of what his views on anything are, I respect his right to have those views, because without that right for him to have those views, there's no reason why I should expect any right for me to express my own. That's the point. As said, I think, by Patrick Henry, I disagree with what you say, but I will fight to the death to protect your right to say it. No words to that effect anyway. I mean, I'm paraphrasing here, but something like that. And I may even have got the author wrong, but you know the quote, and I'm sure you get what I mean. So, yeah, so this is pretty well the situation that we're facing in the world today, folks, with everything that's coming down the pike. And as I've said so many times in the past, ultimately this is a spiritual battle, because the only reason any of this is happening is because we're allowing it to happen. And the only reason we're allowing it to happen is because we've forgotten who and what we are. And very often we're scared to express that, even if we do know. I mean, so many people are prepared to say certain things, but they're not prepared to go the whole way. You know, and it's fear. Even when people have the understanding of what's going on with 5G, it's fear of them speaking out because they view someone in a uniform as being more important to them. They don't just see it as a guy in a uniform, you know. They're not prepared to speak out about things. You know, how many people are just letting their children go into this education system knowing what it is and not speaking out about it? The fact that they're giving kids iPads and things in school, like in grade 1 and 2, they're giving them computers and iPads to learn from, so they're not learning any real skills. And basically, you give these sorts of devices to children and they become addicted to them very quickly, you know, because of the dopamine addiction. So this is basically child abuse. You're fostering dopamine addiction in young children that are too young to really understand what they're doing. And the stuff they're teaching these kids, folks, I mean, you know, in American schools now, they're teaching the Holocaust as compulsory education, Holocaust education to 14-year-old kids. I mean, who's speaking out about this? You know, and think of the Holocaust, folks. I don't care what anybody says about it. There was no Holocaust of Jewish people in World War II. It's a complete crock. It's a fabrication. It didn't happen. The claim was also made of a Holocaust of 6 million Jews in World War I. They even had a memorial service for them in 1916 to memorialize the 6 million Jews who'd perished by the terrible hand of Kaiser Wilhelm in Germany during World War I. But it didn't happen. They claimed again that 6 million Jews had died in Russia in 1927. Didn't happen, folks. They claimed it again in World War II. Everyone bought it because they'd controlled the media by then, and now they're teaching it in schools. How many people are speaking out about this? This is what they're teaching your children, folks. They're teaching your children to be completely subservient to this podunk little country in the Middle East that is milking America and every other country for everything it can. And if you question anything this country does, you're suddenly an anti-Semite. I mean, how many people are speaking out about this? Not many, because they're all too scared to actually say the truth. It's a situation, folks. It's a real situation that we've got ourselves into. And that is the situation that we're in, and it's not going to change until people start calling out the truth and putting their fear down of all this stuff. You know, putting their fear down of the truth, their fear down of speaking their minds and calling things for what they are. And it doesn't matter what people think, it doesn't matter what the mainstream consensus is, it doesn't matter what the general consensus in the independent media is, because there's always a mainstream of the independent media as well. There's always the commonly accepted reality that the independent media pushes as well, which is often very far from the truth, as we saw with Christchurch. And oh dear, you better not question that officially accepted narrative, and if you do, you suddenly become the enemy. You know, it's all controlled, folks. Everything is controlled on so many levels because people are too scared to say anything about it. Ultimately, because people don't know themselves. They're too scared to be themselves. You know, it always comes back to that. You know, a loss of knowledge of themselves and this ingrained belief, this inbuilt, almost inbuilt belief they have in authority. And this belief in authority doesn't just go to the mainstream. It also extends to the independent media as well. Again, as you saw in Christchurch, all you had to do is get people like Veterans Today put out this whole claim of hoax and CGI, and everyone went along with it. Everyone was too scared to question it because of what people might say about them, because the official consensus said one thing and they just didn't want to say the other. And it's like it with so many people who research so many things. It's this authority that they perceive in others. They think, oh, this guy knows more than me, when really nobody really knows what's going on the earth, folks. I mean, I put out a show a year or so ago called Everything is a Lie. Boy, do I get a lot of flack for that, because I just wanted to point out that nobody really knows what's going on. All the information we've got has been tainted. All the books that we read have all been rewritten and reconstructed and put there for us just to lead us down rabbit holes. And there's this whole authoritarian nature to all of it. There's this whole air of subservience to this whole system. Even the independent media, even the research that we do, there is certain things that are tolerated and certain things that are not tolerated. And one of the things that is not tolerated, really, if you want to look at it, is free thinking. Free thinking and having a real opinion and simply calling things for what they are with no stake whatsoever in the outcome. This just doesn't seem to be very tolerated at all, not on any level. It doesn't matter what playing field that you're on, whether you're in the mainstream, whether you're in the independent media, whether you're in sports or even business or anything. It just doesn't seem to be tolerated. But really, that's what the human experience is about. It's about expressing yourself. It's about you learning who and what you are and what you can do with that and expressing that, you know, expressing that to the greatest of your creative potential. That's what we all came here to do, folks, is to discover ourselves. I mean, as I've said so many times, this path through life is a spiritual journey more than anything else. And when you understand that it's a spiritual journey, all of your belief and respect for authority simply falls away from you. Because there is no real authority other than that which is perceived to be there. But all of it is simply a matter of perception. You know, God comes and stands before you in a uniform and you suddenly perceive that he has authority over you. He could be a complete airhead. He could be a moron. He could have an IQ of 104. And suddenly you got this guy telling you what you need to do with your life when you can actually think clearer than him. And you'll find, folks, that if he's a police officer in Australia, then he very likely has got an IQ of 104, because that is the current induction rate. The IQ induction rate for Australian police officers is 104. These people are not real bright, ladies and gentlemen, and yet we allow these people to have authority over us. We willingly grant them authority over us simply because of the uniform that they're wearing. It's a very, very bizarre thing. But again, it's just the result of training and this misplaced belief we have in authority, which is simply a fiction. All government is a fiction, folks. None of it is real. It's just an idea that somebody had, and we all got trained to go along with it. I mean, sure, the buildings are real, the uniforms are real, the politicians are real, the people are real, all the people that do it are real, but the actual system itself is not real. It's just a fiction, it's just a meme, it's just an idea. Yeah, you know, it's getting people to see that is the difficult part. You know, and even with what I've been doing with this 5G action with Ray Broomhall and using the barrister and using the legal fiction, I mean, I don't think that the legal system is the way out through anything. But even having said that, with all the stuff that I say regarding natural law and knowing who and what you are, it's very difficult to get people to understand this and stand in that power because it is such a major paradigm shift for them. So understanding that, in the face of what is coming with this 5G system that is rolling out, well, we simply don't have time for people to learn natural law and for people to rediscover themselves. I mean, I've been trying to help people rediscover themselves for the last 10, 11 years on air, but our backs are fast getting pushed against the wall and we simply don't have time for that. So even with all of that that I know and that I think is the real way out, at the moment, what we can use is parts of the legal system, such as been pointed out by Ray Broomhall, in order to throw spanners in the works, because it's something that the people can understand, something they can get involved with on the ground, something that they believe in. Well, many people believe the system's real, the legal system. So, okay, we can use that to put spanners in the works, and hopefully just that act of people doing that will empower them enough to actually want to rediscover themselves, because even with what I say about rediscovering the self, for many people, it's a major paradigm shift for them. And like I said, we simply don't have time for that at the moment. So hopefully by just using the legal system and giving people the tools within that system that they need to actually stand up for themselves, hopefully that will inspire some real spiritual change within them and cause them to want to look a little deeper anyway. I mean, that's the best thing people could do, because ultimately, that's where the real remedy is going to be found. It's going to be found when people truly do discover the power that lies within them. That is the secret to the whole thing. That's the real way out when it all comes down to it. What can I say? I mean, I've said it so many times before. That is the true way. But in the meantime, as I said, we've got to do what we can in order to inspire that growth within people. And I think what Ray Broomhall is offering us is a pretty good start. So, yeah. Well, folks, we have once again reached that time of the day when we've reached the end of the show. I'd like to thank everybody who came to the talk, the 5G Summit in Brisbane last Thursday. It was wonderful to see such a good turnout, and it was really great to see the presentation that Ray Broomhall gave. It really did lay it all out on the line for you, folks. I mean, he showed you the legal documents, all the papers, all the precedents that have been set. He gave everybody all the tools that they need to take this action on in their own community, should they choose to do so. So I really hope people do get involved and do start taking this action on. And Ray will be speaking in Brisbane again next week on the 7th, and he'll actually be there in person. I'm not sure where the venue is, but if you check Paul Seal's page on Facebook, I'm sure the information will be there. The video of that presentation from last Thursday is available on Facebook too as well. I mean, I'm not sure whether it will be uploaded to YouTube. I mean, I can't actually get access to the video myself to post it on YouTube. So just because it's on Facebook, it's almost impossible to download videos from Facebook. Well, I find it almost impossible anyway. I'm sure there's a way. But hopefully it will get posted to YouTube and I'll be able to share that. But for the moment, you will find it on Facebook. You'll find it on my Facebook page, actually. If you go and check it, you should see a link to the 5G Summit. It's about 2 or 3 hours long, I think. And that is definitely worth checking out, because Ray Broomhall did really present some fantastic information in that presentation. I'd like to thank all the people who send me so many kind emails. I am getting to them, folks. It's a slow process, but I am getting to your email. I'd also like to thank all the people that are sending me information on the Christchurch shooting, the whereabouts of the car and all this sort of stuff. Interesting thing, the car that I pointed out with the Christchurch shooting, the silver Toyota Will VS, registration number FQH875, people have sent me records indicating that this car travelled around about 20 kilometres a day for most days of its existence until about 2 months ago, and now it's only been travelling about 4 kilometres a day ever since that shooting. So, interesting, folks. I think they've got onto the fact that we're onto them and that car isn't being used very much. But there are still people that are looking into that car and attempting to chase up the owner of that car. And again, folks, this is a very, very important thing. This is the most significant part about the shooter's video. The fact that it exposes the helpers, exposes this car, it exposes that there were handlers there working with Brenton Tarrant on the day. I've still been getting a lot of flack over the stance I've taken on the Christchurch shooting, which is very interesting, folks. Been a lot of character assassinations been put out by people that I don't know, that have never met me. So I'm hearing anyway. I haven't actually watched any of them, but I'm hearing that they're happening. And I find that to be quite revealing in itself. I did put an article on my website, Max Egan, on the Christchurch shooting, which exposes all the claims of hoax, how all these claims are actually false. And it's interesting that the response people have been putting out to this article that I wrote is character assassination of me. They're not able to actually refute anything that I've put in the article, so they've attempted to assassinate my character. Very telling, ladies and gentlemen. But really, the shooter's video speaks for itself, and the shooter's video debunks all the claims that have been made of CGI and all this sort of stuff. All you got to do is really look at the video. But as I said, folks, the most important part about it is this silver Toyota Will BS registration FQH875. And who was driving that car can give us some pretty good answers to what actually went down on the day. And it also has the ability to expose the New Zealand government for being the liars that they are, and to expose the entire world media machine for being the liars that they are as well. That's what's important about that Christchurch video, ladies and gentlemen. That's why I put so much focus on it for a few weeks there. And I just wanted to let you know that this focus is still ongoing. There's still a lot of people looking into this. And when I get more information on it, I will most definitely get back to you with that information. But again, folks, we're almost at the end of the show, so thank you for tuning in today. I will be speaking at Anarchadelphia in Philadelphia in September. If you go to my website, you'll find a link to that on my website. And if you use the coupon CROWHOUSE, you'll find that you'll get a 5% discount on your ticket. And that's always a good thing as well. I'll let you know when the details for Anarchapulco come out, and I will post them on the website as well. But for the moment, the only gig that I've got any details to inform you of is that one in Philadelphia in September. And as I said, you'll find the details to that on my website. I wasn't actually going to be doing any touring this year, but I figured I'd go over and do that gig. So I could attend a wedding of a friend of mine in the United States at the same time. So it kind of worked out for me. But again, folks, that is it for me. Thank you to the many people who sent me so many kind emails. Thank you to my Patreon supporters. I could not do any of this were it not for the support that you give me. So thank you, thank you, thank you for that. And I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh.